City Council will come to order before I ask Sue Parsons to call the roll. We're glad that you're here. How many of you have been to the City Council chambers before? All right. So if you missed the introduction from Mr. Jefferson, signs are fine. Just keep them at your chest. When you come, if you're testifying any of the issues today, then you just give your name and full name. We don't need your phone number. We don't need your address. We don't need your email, Twitter account, any of those things. If you are a registered lobbyist under local law, you need to disclose that. We begin with communications, and then we move through the agenda. Sign-up sheets. If you're here for fluoride, the public hearing was last week. This week is vote only. But we have sign-up sheets for the other matters on the council agenda today. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thank you.
Can you please call the roll?
Salzman.
Here.
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Quorum is present. Can you please read the title for communications, item number 1004?
Request of John Golden to address council regarding impact of new infill apartments projects on the east side.
Mr. Golden. Hi, welcome.
Good morning.
You just want to press that button there.
How's that? Everyone hear me in the back?
Yeah. Get pretty close.
Do I have to get it pretty close? My time hasn't started yet, has it, Sue?
No.
Okay. Good morning, commissioners, Mr. Mayor. Thank you so much for having us here, and I'd like to thank all the people behind me here, residents and family who came to talk about this very important issue. I'm here, my name is John Golden, and I represent the Beaumont-Wilshire neighborhood, but I'm here as part of a group, Friends for Responsible Growth, as you can see here. We're really here to talk about a very significant issue here in Portland, and we are talking about invasive species in Portland. We got a lot of them. We have things like the Acropitalian repens, which everyone knows is known more commonly as the Russian knapweed. We have animal invasive species, Agrilis annexus, which more commonly known as the bronze birch borer. Some people may not know, however, we do have other invasive species in Portland. It's called Apartamentus horribilis. This is it in its native environment. More commonly known as a multi-story apartment building out of character with the neighborhood and no parking that being built over the strenuous objections of local residents. Now, I'm here from Beaumont-Wilshire, but I'm here also on behalf of all these other neighborhoods who are facing similar constructions as this. These are just the ones we know about. There are a whole lot of others that we don't. We, folks right behind me here, we're the Friends for Responsible Growth. We are not anti-growth. We are interested in the livability of our Portland neighborhoods, and we know that growth is inevitable and necessary. We just want to be responsible growth. Here's just a primer, and this might be for you, might be for the people behind me, but we absolutely in this city have a real need for apartment housing. We have one of the lowest vacancy rates in the country. We know that. We also know that combined with that, we've had some low interest rates, and some developers have had opportunities to get loans for projects that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to do, projects without parking. These developers are exploiting code. They're exploiting out-of-date code, specifically in my neighborhood, the CS zoning code. We've been told that the best opportunity is to meet with these developers, and all of us have. We've had numerous meetings. Unfortunately, they've proved fruitless because the developers have said that to be responsible in its growth, as we'll define later on today, is not economically feasible. So here's the code. I didn't read code. I don't think anyone here reads code until you have to. So I pulled up the code, and I was excited to see this code because it says that the code preserves and enhances these commercial zones. I went, yeah, fantastic, we got it. So I kept reading, however, because deep in the code, it says that that code also allows for 45-foot high buildings, and it doesn't require parking or retail in commercially zoned areas. So in my neighborhood, the project is right between the blocks of 44th and 45th. Displacing businesses that have been there for 22 years, houses behind that have been there for 50 years. Here's the block. That's what it looked like. Our main concern is that in the entire stretch of Fremont, there are no four-story buildings. Parking's already a premium, and these balconies will look directly into neighbors' yards. We didn't know what 45 feet high is, so we got a cherry picker and we took some pictures down. This is what you see. That's someone's backyard, probably someone who's in the audience here, right here. The developer said to us, that person should have read the code. Well, she bought the property in 1962. So how does this development preserve and enhance our neighborhood as the code suggests that it must? This is what we're going to talk about this morning. Folks here, my friends behind me, we're interested in the irresponsible growth that this development poses. Questions of scale, like that 45-foot high building, safety issues, lack of green space and architectural variety, and parking concerns for residents and businesses. We absolutely need your help. And there are a lot of these, and we're going to talk about these this morning. Looking at that parking exemption, it probably doesn't need to be one parking space for every resident, but it's got to be something close. Consider a limited moratorium on some projects that are not yet permitted. Think about a notification process so that the residents know when these things are happening, and to develop a plan to monitor and measure. We absolutely need your help. Please stand with us, stand with the neighborhoods, and please don't stand by while our neighborhoods are developed in ways that are not responsible. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks. Can you make sure we get a copy of the PowerPoint? So, Sue, can you please read the title for communications, item number 1005?
Request of Gary Davenport to address council regarding apartment building with no parking and problems unique to the Overlook neighborhood.
Mr. Davenport. Oh, hi, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to present today. I'm Gary Davenport, representing Overlook. So here's what we've got. The Overlook Triangle, a cul-de-sac with about 400 homes, bluffs on two sides that dry each summer to create a fire hazard, traffic flowing in and out of our cul-de-sac onto Interstate Avenue. On Interstate Avenue, businesses, motels, the Polish Church, a new 165-unit apartment, and the Interstate Kaiser Permanente campus. Two parks, a small one on top and a big one on the bottom. Our concerns are down here on Interstate and North Overlook. On Interstate, we see the main entrance to the Kaiser campus, the Palms Motel, the largest on Interstate, the Overlook Park MAC station, single-lane traffic flowing north and south with heavily used bike lanes on the right. On North Overlook, visibility up Interstate is obstructed by the Palms. Driveways from Kaiser and the Palms turn onto North Overlook for Interstate access. Commuters parking by the MAC station reduce two-way traffic to a single lane. Greenway cyclists merge to and from the Interstate bike lanes. Now, at the site of these two homes marked in red, conduct an experiment. Plop in a dense 65-unit apartment with no on-site parking. Find out how many apartment residents and visitors park their cars on our streets. Find out how many of our narrow streets fill up to support only one-way traffic. Find out if sanitation, delivery, and utility trucks can still accomplish their tasks. Find out how quickly emergency vehicles can negotiate our streets to fight a fire or get someone to the hospital. Find out how greenway cyclists coexist with cars and car doors on our congested neighborhood streets. Find out if our children can be safe playing in the neighborhood, crossing our streets, or riding their bikes. Find out how far park users will lug their coolers for a picnic or sports equipment for a kickball game. Find out whether there's enough parking available to support the Polish Festival and the Organic Brewers Festival. Now, fast forward a year or two to a second experiment when the Palms Motel gets redeveloped. Its EXD zoning and proximity to the same MAC station also allow development with no on-site parking. Potentially, the sheer size of the development could introduce hundreds of cars into our neighborhood. Now, much of our cul-de-sac is gridlocked with unsafe one-way streets. The current no on-site parking policy does nothing to address the limitations and fragility of our narrow neighborhood streets and puts the safety and livability of our neighborhood at risk. Please slow down and stop fast-tracking these projects. For projects nearing completion, implement permitting programs to place parking restrictions on apartment residents who introduce new cars into our neighborhood. For future projects, redraft zoning code with new provisions to mitigate the safety and livability issues that these no on-site parking projects introduce. We're asking for your help.
Thank you very much.
Item 1006, request of Ellen Burr to address council regarding responsible growth and how it fits into the neighborhood.
Good morning, Ms. Burr.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners Fritz, Saltzman, and Fish. My name is Ellen Burr. I'm a resident of the Selwood-Moreland neighborhood and the land use chair for SMILE, the Selwood-Moreland Improvement League. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. 11 years ago, I moved from Los Angeles to Portland because I'd always longed to live in a neighborhood. LA doesn't really have those. I'm very concerned about this trend of large apartment buildings with no parking. Because zoning code allows you to build a certain way with no parking, no green space and vegetation, and minimal setbacks, that doesn't mean there is no negative impact to the neighborhood. Portland neighborhoods are unique, not one size fits all. The Selwood development site is the backside of a commercial block. The front and one side of a four-story building would tower over the single-family homes across the street. These buildings are massive compared to the scale of our residential neighborhoods. What are the developers required to do to help ensure their tenants use public transportation and do not own cars they will be parking on the street? Our public transportation service has been cut. Our neighborhood lost the Herald Street stop on the Portland-Milwaukee light rail. Can TriMet guarantee that our access will be restored and improved? This isn't just about no parking. This isn't just about one building in each neighborhood. Much of Tacoma Street, a gateway to our community, is zoned for this type of overscale development. And yesterday I received word that another project is in the works in our neighborhood on Tacoma. These buildings infringe on the privacy of their neighbors, block the daylight from homes, yards, and gardens, and put the neighbors living up against a wall. There are creative design solutions. Vary the roof lines to give a sense of movement and relief to the 45-foot allowable height and allow more light. Create a compound of smaller buildings so there's a gathering space between them and a feeling of community. In the front of Selwood's library building, the upper floors are stair-stepped to transition down to the street. As you walk by, you don't realize this building is four stories tall. Development is more effective when it's planned for future success, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years out. 10.4% of Portland's population is over 65, and all of us baby boomers are coming behind them for the next 18 years. Build housing which serves families, the aging population, and others who need accessible housing. There's so much opportunity for innovation and creativity. The Portland we love and care about did not happen by accident. Portland supports public involvement. We're all here today. We have educated, thoughtful citizens who voice the concerns of our neighborhoods. Our concerns on this issue are not heard because what the developers do is by right and to code. Unless you live in a design district, you have no say regarding the design of our buildings. Change will require sacrifice. We do support increased density, less cars, and more public transportation. And we also support responsible, community-involved growth. If we wait 4 years for our comprehensive plan to be completed, we will see more of these buildings go up and permanently damage the fabric and character of our beloved neighborhoods. Some of you must live in these neighborhoods. Work with us to open the conversation between the developers and the citizens who truly make these neighborhoods the places where we love to live. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you.
One 1007, request of Judah Goldmarkle to address council regarding development of large apartment buildings where no parking throughout the inner east side.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
And we have copies of all your slides. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Thanks.
That doesn't look right. A second, because that's the. Where's yours?
It was down here.
That's E. This is it. Is this it?
No.
It's on the thing.
Did we lose yours?
It wasn't showing up the his. It,
didn't launch the presentation.
I have it on a flash drive.
The PDF.
Are we okay here? Okay. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Computers. Okay. So, good morning, Council, and thanks for having us. My name is Judah Gold Markell, and I'm from the Richmond neighborhood and community. And we're concerned especially about the Division Street corridor. We are a community pro-growth, volunteer-oriented, and community-focused group that encourages responsible growth that's sustainable in our neighborhoods. We particularly are concerned about livability, parking, green space, and architectural design. In 2006, the City Council adopted the Division Street, Division Green Street Main Street Plan, which was formed by many civic groups coming together to create a forum and a vision for Division Street. It encouraged medium density infill. Zoning changes would not result in major changes in development density, and it focused on Division Street as a pioneering green building and sustainable infrastructure. It treated it as a coordinated design. In July of 2012, Charlie Hales did a walkthrough with us and said, Division Street is facing the perfect storm of developers taking advantage of outdated zoning codes. So this is a look from BPS of all the, between 30th and 50th, of all the buildings that are zoned the same way and have the potential to be changed into four-story buildings with or apartment buildings. You can see the density of this. And then here more recently is proposed current future projects and apartments in this slide that's going in between 28th and 39th. You can see there is a lot of growth and building going on there. So, 11 blocks of proposed new development. Where will they all go? 9 new apartment buildings, over 450 new apartment units is an estimate. If you say that 1.92 cars per household, which is based on U.S. Census data, you're talking about 864 new cars. If you look at the photo, you can see the gridlock that already exists on Division Street. There is no zoning requirements or codes for other residential vehicles, families, visitors, TriMet lifts, or people with disabilities. This is pushing traffic off of Division and onto bike corridors on Clinton and Lincoln. Division Street is now known as Restaurant Row. Where will all these people who are coming to these restaurants go if they can't park? There's been great economic strides made. Who are these developers? You can see right here. Some of them are good, some of them not so much. The devil is in the details, as stressed by the Green Street Plan. We've been trying to meet with them. Here's one project which shows they include parking in some of it. They include green space, community space in some of it. So another group has chosen to build 81 units on the corner of 37th and Southeast Division. It backs directly into single-family homes. There's no parking, no green space, no common space for residents, and there's just one 3,000-square-foot area of retail space. What has RNRG done? We've obtained nearly 500 signatures on petitions that we want the plans altered. We've attempted to meet with UDG, and we've encouraged the community to participate in the comprehensive plan and PEG meetings. We've collaborated with other neighbors. We've met with the developer to have an open dialogue, some more successful than others. We filed a petition to the Land Use Board of Appeals. We're being proactive. What can you do? One is the idea of a moratorium on building in Division Street until zoning regulations have caught up to the pace of development. Another idea is change zoning rules, design project review by community and neighborhood associations, review allocation of parking spaces per apartments for multifamily buildings, encourage and incentivize green buildings, review proportion of building height to street width, encourage good neighborhood agreements, between developers and neighborhood association. The future of our neighborhoods depends on us. We can either face the future of unregulated, laissez-faire growth on the Inner East Side with little to no urban planning, or we can commit to a future of sustainable, community-driven growth that supports and works with developers. We hold City Council responsible for the future of our city. Thank you.
Thank you.
#1008, request of John Urbanowski to address council regarding development of large apartment buildings with no parking throughout the Inner East Side. John, come up, please.
Hi, welcome. Do you have a PowerPoint?
No.
Okay. Old school.
Yeah, I'm old school. My name is John Urbanowski, and I'm from the Kearns neighborhood. You may have heard of us. Kearns neighborhood is an up-and-coming neighborhood that has experienced a lot of good things and livability. And we're very proud of the diversity and variety of kinds of people that live in our neighborhood. We have homeowners, we have lots of apartment dwellers, we have young and we have old. But there's been a cloud on the horizon for my neighborhood, and a lot of concern about this development on the corner of 30th and Burnside. That will be on a 10,000 square foot lot, two city lots, with 50 units, with no parking, no loading zone, no green space, very little in the way of bike parking amenities. And so what you've heard here today from the Friends for Responsible Growth are all the things that my friends and neighbors in the Kearns community are very concerned about. The first thing we're a little bit concerned about is that we don't seem to be able to participate in such a high-impact development in our own community. We were barely notified about this activity going on. But the things we've talked about here so far, such as safety, concern for the elderly in navigating on these side streets after this development is enacted, the handicap, the traffic problems that will probably occur, emergency services being hampered, just being able to park near your apartment. We have many new commercial businesses that really do need to find parking on these side streets, restaurants, bakeries. The development is obviously out of scale, and it does not fit the character of the neighborhood, and we really are proud of where we live, and we want to maintain that livability, that we have a great walk score, all kinds of nice issues in our neighborhood. So what can you do? Well, I think it's been mentioned here a number of times. We're asking that somebody tweak this no parking concept for these huge, dense developments. But one of the things that I want the council to consider is this constituency of people that are opposed to this kind of development, not all development, but the nature of this kind of development that seems not well thought out, is going to create a backlash against infill that's going to lead to our kind of a push and shove on livability versus infill. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be walking hand in hand to make these things happen in the city of Portland. So why not consider putting maybe an absolute cap on the number of people who own vehicles in some of these buildings if the construction is already underway? Maybe look at this limited moratorium. Consider monitoring and measuring the effects and consequences on our neighborhoods of this kind of development. Thank you very much for the opportunity to address you.
So thank you. Did you want to say something? Maybe I'm going to pass it up to you. So, great presentation. Really appreciate it, and appreciate having copies of the slides. We have to establish a factual baseline, and so that work is underway. I think I'll double-check and look through your slides. From what you've said and what I read in your slides, I think we're looking at sort of establishing the baseline of information in, I think, all of the areas you mentioned, but I will double check based on this presentation. We should, our goal is to have much of that done within the next 30 to 45 days leading up to a public forum on November 13th with the Planning and Sustainability Commission. So we hear the urgency. We have to get sort of a factual predicate on this. You've sent staff a lot of information already, which we appreciate very much. So we've heard you, and we're working on it. So thank you very much.
Mayor, may I just add? We are required by state law to get advice from the Planning and Sustainability Commission before we change the zoning code, so we have to do that. I raised this issue several months ago after hearing from neighbors about the challenges when we were looking at housing tax abatements, which isn't the same thing at all. These are not tax abated facilities, but they raised the issue that issue looked at the zoning and the tax abatement areas. So that's when we asked the Planning and Sustainability Commission to hold a hearing. So it will be coming back to the council before the end of the year, and so you'll have another opportunity. But I do encourage you, the Planning and Sustainability hearing is at 12, starts at 12:30. You should check the agenda to find out what time this item is on it. If you can't participate during the day, and by the way, thank you everybody for coming down on a Wednesday morning to show your support. Those who can't participate can also send in comments to the Planning and Sustainability Commission, and you should certainly do that. Thank you for your advocacy.
So we're going to take for the setup for the rest
before
of our...
Before that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I wanted to speak a little bit to the issue because I think you would benefit from a historical perspective as to why you're running up against what you are running up against. These policies weren't created in a vacuum. In the early 70s, Oregon passed land use laws that are models used not just around the country but around the world, one of which is the urban growth boundary. So what you're running up against now is the impact of those land use laws that drew lines around metropolitan areas around the state and said you can build within those lines, but on farmland and forest land and open space, you cannot build. So the result has been increased density and an attempt. And I'm not telling you this to say that your concerns aren't valid. I think there should be parking built with multi-story apartment houses. But having said that, one of the, in fact, the very first neighborhood meeting I went to as a member of the city council in 2002, there's a picture of that meeting on the front page of the Tribune in 2002 of a man screaming at me. And welcome to the city council, Randy. And he was screaming at me because the code allowed these narrow houses to be built on narrow lots, and they were going up in the Concordia neighborhood, and he was furious that one was going up on his block. I told them then, and he screamed back his answer, I'll tell you now, and hopefully you'll at least understand the context within which this is happening, is there is an attempt, as we have more population density, to increase the amount of people per block in the city. Not everybody can drive when we do that. Not everybody can have the luxury of getting in the car and driving. It won't be possible years down the road. So we have to find a balance. Certainly, if you're building an apartment complex, there should be parking. No question about that. But the density part, I think people need to at least approach understanding with that, we preserve farmland, we preserve forest land, and we become a model for the world. Many parts of the world look at what we do to try to create their own urban planning. So if we can all approach this with that balanced goal in mind, I think you'll be more successful, and I think we can achieve better balance as well by certainly including parking when we build a multi-story building.
And I appreciate in your presentations, each one of you described the importance of having land use and accommodating growth, and really appreciate that. So that folks that aren't staying for the rest of the day have an opportunity to leave, and we have to set up for the next presentations. We're going to take a 5-minute break. Thank you very much.
Thank you.